This morning on Wake Up with Hope, Ronnie Mills will be with us, and we'll have a morning devotional from Pastor Mark Findlay.
Plus, we're talking with Dr. Jennifer Jill Schwerzer about how we can overcome that big five-letter word, worry. Stay with us.
Good morning and happy Friday, friends. We have been so thankful to be able to spend this whole week with you.
Yes, we have. And as we end the week together, people all over the world are celebrating St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
And we'd be remiss not to mention him.
Of course. Though many myths now surround this day, such as leprechauns and pots of gold, you know, wearing green on St. Patrick's Day. And I see, honey, you're wearing green.
And I see you have
I'm wearing green. So we don't pinch each other today. Are you wearing green? Well, you know, St. Patrick was a British Christian missionary to the Emerald Island of Ireland. Born as Maewyn Sukkot around AD 387, he felt God calling him to Ireland to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, much of what St. Patrick accomplished has been shrouded by myths and culture more than his Christianity. But did you know that St. Patrick worshiped God on the seventh day Sabbath, Saturday?
That's right. In fact, the early Celtic churches in Ireland, as well as Scotland, kept Saturday as a day of rest according to the fourth commandment.
Mm-hmm.
So as the week draws to a close and St. Patrick is on your mind, why not spend a little extra time considering the importance of keeping the seventh day Sabbath even today?
That's right. And if you need help getting started, please visit hope.study, where you can find many insightful topics about Bible truth.
That's right. Well, now it's time for a segment that we like to call This Day in History.
On March 17, 461 AD, St. Patrick, Christian missionary, bishop, and apostle of Ireland, died at Saul Downpatrick, Ireland. Today, he is honored with the annual holiday of St. Patrick's Day. Born in Great Britain, Patrick was captured and enslaved at age 16 by Irish marauders. Following the counsel of a voice he heard in a dream one night, he escaped and found passage on a ship to Britain, where he was eventually reunited with his family. In Britain, Patrick had another dream in which he seemed to hear the voices of Irishmen pleading for him to return to their country and walk among them once more. After studying for the priesthood, Patrick arrived in Ireland in 433 and began preaching the gospel, converting many thousands of Irish and building churches around the country.
You know, friend, just like God had a calling for Patrick, he has a special calling for you. There's a special work God wants you to do. It may not be revealed in a dream, but seek the Lord in prayer, reading the Bible, and let Him speak to your heart and reveal the exact work He wants you to do to spread His message of love in this dying world.
Amen. Thank you for those thoughts. Do you ever worry? Maybe you're worried about something right now. Did you know that worrying is very damaging? Mm-hmm. It's no wonder Jesus tells us not to worry and instead give everything into His hands. Dr. Jennifer Jill Schwerzer joins us this morning as she talks about worry as one of the seven deadly psychological sins.
The next deadly psychological sin is worry. It's worry. Worry reacts to the possibility of danger versus the probability of danger. In psychology, we call it hypervigilance. Not that vigilance is completely unnecessary. We need to be on guard. There are dangers in the world. But worry reacts to the possibility of danger, and the possibility of danger is almost unlimited. The problem with hypervigilance or worry is that it doesn't achieve the protection that one hopes it will achieve. It's a known fact in abuse counseling, victims of abuse, that those that have been abused, those that have been victimized, are often re-victimized. And we think the reason for this is that they are hypervigilant. They're so afraid of everything that their nervous systems literally get worn out and they miss the actual threat and they're not able to defend themselves against that. Worry is blind and cannot discern the future. The reason we worry is that we hope it's going to help us predict any kind of potential threat out there, but actually it doesn't work that way at all. It doesn't discern the future. It's blind. So for no other reason, reject this habit of worry because it just doesn't achieve what you think it's going to achieve. The replacement for worry is trust. Now, I know trust sounds like a very dangerous proposition, particularly to some of you, those of you whose trust has been horribly violated. But it's worse for you to never trust than it is for you to distrust. So I suggest that you learn to trust, but that you learn to trust intelligently. All institutions, all social entities, whether it be a family or a church or even a society, function on the basis of trust. When trust falls away from a given society, that society makes a cultural descent. A society cannot prosper when there's no trust between the members of society. The same thing is true of smaller societies like families and friendships. Trust provides a foundation for healthy functioning in relationships and healthy functioning in individuals as well. What we find in psychology is that there's a little chemical in your brain called oxytocin that is kind of the mediator for trust. It's the thing that's working in your brain when you're forming a trust bond. Research shows that injected oxytocin increases the willingness to take social risks. So if I were to inject you with oxytocin, this little chemical in your brain, then you would be more inclined to talk to a stranger or more inclined to form a new friendship. There's research on loneliness and how it relates to trust. Quote, loneliness was negatively correlated with each measure of trust beliefs and trusting behavior. The bottom line is that trust is worth the risk, even though it does bring certain risk factors. In fact, there is no such thing as trust without risk. You do away with risk, you do away with trust. But even though there's a risk involved in trusting, it is worth the risk, particularly if you learn how to choose your friends well and how to choose confidants well and how to conduct your life in an intelligent manner. What you will find is you will be disappointed in other people less and less, and that those trust bonds will build, and that trust itself will form the foundation for healthy functioning in you and in your relationships.
Are you enjoying today's program? Share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us there.
When we return, Ronnie Mills will join us.
But first, we have Doctor's Orders up next.
Hey, let's have a big party this weekend.
You won't have time or energy to organize that.
Yes, I will. I'm full of energy. I feel great. I'll text people right now.
No, think about it first.
No, 200 people invited. There.
Oh no, 200? I think that's the energy drink talking.
Oh, I feel terrible. Why did I invite 200 people to that dumb party?
I don't know, but I think the caffeine just wore off.
Oh, you're right. I just need some more caffeine. I'm out of energy drink. I'll go get some coffee. Oh, I feel so much better now. I've ordered now 3 bouncy castles for that party for the children this weekend.
Oh, great. But you're a drug addict.
No, I'm not. I don't take drugs.
Yes, you do. You get jittery, sleepy, and headachey if you don't have a coffee or an energy drink in your hand.
So?
Well, those are all symptoms of drug addiction. Caffeine is actually classed as the world's most popular drug.
Really?
Uh-huh. So lead a steady life by avoiding social drug addiction. Doctor's Orders.
Welcome back. You know, we hope you are blessed by today's program.
This morning, Ronnie Mills from our very own Hope Channel is here with us to share important news. We can't wait to hear from you, Ronnie.
Good morning, Saints, and happy Friday. We are living in unique times. Every day, we're seeing reminders that the soon return of Christ is getting closer day by day. At Hope Channel, we are working hard to help fulfill Christ's great commission because we don't want anyone left behind. Therefore, I'm thrilled to have as our guest today, Mr. Joe Sloan, Director of International Development for Hope Channel. Welcome, Joe, to Wake Up with Hope.
Thank you, Ronnie. Glad to be here.
Please tell our audience regarding the exciting initiative that Hope Channel is involved in to tell the world regarding Christ's imminent return.
Thank you, Ronnie. The initiative is called 3 AM for Three Angels Messages, and it relates to Revelation 14, the last gospel cry of the New Testament, in which a special message goes out in the end times. The initiative is to get as many channels as possible and as many languages as possible to create videos that can be used to extend this message to those that have never heard it, particularly the youth.
And how many channels will be involved in this new initiative?
Well, the plan is to do at least 70 languages. We've already done 30, and those 30 involve about 25 channels. To do 70 is probably about 45 to 50 channels.
What is some of the initial feedback that you have received regarding the project?
Well, Ronnie, we've received a lot of feedback. There's been tens of thousands of people who have watched these videos. But some of it that we can relate here on the air from Bernardo, this has been the best explanation in short form that I have ever heard. From Robin, we've received, awesome. Thank you for such a well done video. Jamar tells us, very informative and powerful. And Maud wrote in saying, amen. The Three Angels message is a blessed gift to the church. We praise God for the inspiration.
Wow, Joe, thank you for sharing that feedback, and thank you for tuning in today. Your support will enable more people to respond, and here's some of the great feedback that we heard today who will be excited about this project. This can only happen due to your support. Call in today at 1-888-446-7388. That's 1-888-446-7388. Or donate online at hopetv.org/donate. That's hopetv.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Thank you, Ronnie. If you're enjoying today's program, share us with a friend and visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup for more.
We'd love to hear how we have made a difference in your week, so please stop by our official Wake Up with Hope Facebook page and leave us a message.
When we return, we're going to have today's devotional thought by Pastor Mark Finley. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back.
It is now time for our devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Pastor Mark Finley.
One of the big challenges in the Christian life is to work through certain questions that seem to us to be in conflict with the principles of the Bible. Now, let me share a couple with you. If God is so good, why is the world so bad? Why is there so much suffering? That's one of the questions that I'm asked often as I travel the world in evangelism. But here's another one, and it's this second one I want to focus on today. Why does God allow wicked leaders to rule and at times kill millions of people who are innocent? Why are there so many wicked despots in the world? Why are so many wicked autocratic leaders in the world? Now, Proverbs kind of slaps us in the face. Proverbs kind of shocks us with what it says, and so we need to unpack it. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. What's this talking about? What it's saying is this. God is sovereign. And in spite of what is happening on earth, the sovereign God is still in control. Now, let me give you some examples of this. Take Joseph's experience. He's betrayed by his brothers. He's thrown into a pit. He goes into the palace to be a servant. He is wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife and ends up in prison. So how do you explain God then? But ultimately, Joseph interprets the dreams of the baker and the butler. Joseph ends up in Pharaoh's court, and Joseph interprets the dream of 7 years of plenty and then followed by 7 years of famine. Although Joseph was in a pit, was God still in control then? When Joseph was in the palace and in prison, was God still in control then? Did God see the end from the beginning? And did God plan to put Joseph where he was to save the nation of Israel, or Jacob's sons and the Israelites at that time? He did. God had a plan to save his people long before Joseph knew about the plan. Take Moses' experience. When Moses, when a decree went forth that these Jewish babies be killed and Moses is in a little basket, take Moses' experience. He's brought up in the courts of Egypt. He flees into the wilderness after he kills a Egyptian. You know, he flees. He's there for 40 years. And you could almost hear Moses saying, "It's just a waste of my life. I've been educated in the highest education in the courts of Egypt." Moses was a historian. Moses was, he knew geography, he knew war, but yet he's out there herding sheep. But was God still sovereign? And was God going to use that to have Moses lead his people out of the nation of Israel, the nation of Egypt? He was. And you take Daniel, you know, a young man, he's captive, 17 years old. He has an experience in Babylon. And what happens then? He takes 3 years in the University of Babylon, purposes in his heart to serve God. And God uses that to put him next to Nebuchadnezzar. And ultimately, Nebuchadnezzar is converted. You see, in spite of despotic rulers, in spite of autocratic rulers, God's still in control. And God opens the hearts of these rulers and these political leaders through the influence of his people. Now, sometimes that influence is through personal contact. Other times that influence is through prayer, where God's people pray. And as God's people pray, the circumstances change. You think of the Battle of Dunkirk in the Second World War, where Hitler's panzer divisions of tanks had driven the Allied forces right to the English Channel. But all up and down in country churches and city churches, in the evenings, the lights were on, or they were, the churches were darkened. But people were praying, is the point. People were praying, and as they prayed, Hitler made decisions to slow his attack down. And you had the great invasion of Dunkirk when the Allied forces evacuated their troops to save an army of tens of thousands. You see, the hand of the Pharaoh, the heart of the Pharaoh is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns wherever he wishes. Now, sometimes these rulers sense divine influence, but sometimes they have absolutely no knowledge at all. The key fact is this: God is sovereign. Let me share with you an amazing experience from here in the United States. In the United States, there was a war called the Civil War. Now, no war is civil, a war between the North and the South. The first battle of that war was the Battle of Manassas in July 21, 1861. General McDowell led the Northern forces, the Federal forces, about 32,000. General Beauregard led the Confederate forces that day swelled to about 22,000. The battle raged all day. Northern forces were attacking. Southern forces were attacking. And immediately, though, as those forces approached one another, and we don't know why this happened in the history books, but from divine history, we know why it happened. History books have a hard time explaining it. The battle has raged all day. As the North and South approach one another, something unusual happens. There's confusion. Confusion in the ranks. The Northern forces retreat, and they're gone. 2 weeks after the battle, Ellen White, whom Seventh-day Adventists told to have prophetic guidance from God, has a vision. And in that vision, she sees an angel come down and confuse the soldiers so that the northern soldiers will retreat. And she says, this is why. See, often people say to me, where's God in the midst of battle? Where's God in the midst of struggle? She says, there are two reasons why that happened. Number one, these federal forces were young recruits. Abraham Lincoln had people come from the farms, from the factories. They were young men, 17, 18, 19, some as young as 16. And they signed up for 90 days because they thought the war was going to be over quickly. 90 days. Had they won the Battle of Manassas and marched further south down to the capital at Richmond, thousands more would have died. So what did God do? He intervened by sending the angel. Secondly, there were many pro-slavery people in the North, not only in the South. And God allowed the North to lose that battle to punish the North for their pro-slavery position until the North would take a position against the heinous, terrible crime of slavery. But what does all of this show? What does the story of Daniel and Joseph and Moses show? What is the story that I just told you show, and how does that illustrate the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord? That in the midst of human conflict, in the midst of human strife, in the midst of war and dust and turmoil, God is still sovereign. We can walk out today with hope because God is in control of this world.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Mark, for those inspiring words.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, maybe rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week together, so don't forget to join us right here on Monday morning. Voice of Prophecy will be sharing a devotional thought, and we will have much more in store. And don't forget to start your week right here with us.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, and you would like to learn more about different Bible topics, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study, because we are sure that our free Bible studies will be such a blessing to you as they have been to so many others.
Absolutely. And of course, we can't leave without our daily Bible promise. And today's promise says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. That's found in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13.
What a beautiful promise that is.
Yes.
And as you receive Christ and his amazing sacrifice on your behalf, you become a child of the living God, a child born of God. What a precious promise.
Amen. Friends, we hope you take this truth with you throughout your weekend and every day. God wants to do incredible things in your life. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, today, Lord, with the measure of faith you have given each one of us, with the ability that we all have, right now, we choose to make a choice, and that is to receive you, Lord Jesus, into our hearts. Come into our hearts. And by doing so, Lord, we know that we have received power to be able to live today, looking to you, filled with hope and courage. And we thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.